Open up to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. If you've got your own copy of God's Word. If you don't, just grab the Pew Bible right there in front of you and open up to page 1143 in the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be in verses 1 through 13. Once again, that's 1143 in the Pew Bible in front of you. As you're opening up there, I just want to say what a joy it is to be with you this morning here at First Baptist Church, Gadsden. What a blessing it is to get to preach here each week. Today, the plan is to finish up this series in the parables called The Stories We Tell. We started it back last year, actually, and took a break for Christmas, and then got back into it this month here in January. Next Sunday, Lord willing, my plan is to start a new series called Healthy Church through the book of 1 Timothy. So, Lord willing, we'll start preaching through 1 Timothy next week. I think 1 Timothy is such an important book for every church, but it deals with almost every aspect of life in the church. It's a relatively short book. And so last year, we ran a marathon through Hebrews, right? And so this year, we're going to run some little mini 5Ks throughout the year. We're going to do some shorter sermon series because what we want to do is spend lots of time in God's Word and then change it up a little bit. And then once again, hopefully next year in 2018, we'll do a longer series that year as well. What I want you to do is see God's Word in all its fullness. I want to preach the whole counsel of God. So we try to switch around from New and Old Testament and long books and short books and all sorts of different things because I want you to see the Bible. I want you to know and love the Scriptures. Well, if you have your Bibles open, would you go ahead and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. Matthew writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in such a way that as the words on this page are being read, God Himself is speaking to you. Beginning in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll open our hearts and minds this morning that we might be a people who is prepared for the coming of your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. More than once in my life and in my ministry, I've shared the gospel with someone, and they rejected it based on an illusion. More than once, I've shared the gospel with someone, and they've rejected the gospel based on an illusion. Let me just give you two examples. One time, I was at a gas station several years ago before I even lived here in Gadsden. In fact, I don't think I'd even moved to Kentucky yet. I think Whitney and I weren't married yet. So this was several years ago. And I met a man at a gas station, and he was actually in his truck. And in his truck, he had an open container of alcohol. And I said, "Hey, man, I don't know if that's really the wisest decision to be making here on a weekday afternoon," and which it wasn't. And if case that's a question for anyone here, just so you know, that's not the wisest decision to be making on any afternoon. And I said, "Do you know Jesus Christ? I mean, do you know? Obviously, if you're drinking here this afternoon in your truck, obviously you've got something that you're trying to fulfill. Have you ever considered perhaps Jesus might fulfill those issues. And he just started laughing at me. He said, man, that stuff's for my grandpa. And anyway, I've got plenty of time to repent. I've got plenty of time to get things right. And I thought, not as much time as you think if you keep drinking and driving, but whatever, you know, to each their own. The reality was, though, and I did call and report later that there was somebody on the roadways drinking and driving because I didn't want to endanger others. But he told me, that stuff's for my grandpa, stuff's for my granddad, and I've got plenty of time to repent. Another time was with a friend from school who was raised in a Christian home, called himself a believer, but the fruit in his life was not reflecting that he was a Christian. As we talked, I said, man, you know, I understand you're having a good time. I understand you're into partying and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, there's parties in the Bible. There are ways to enjoy life without disobeying God. But I said, why don't you go back to the Lord? Why don't you leave this lifestyle behind? And he once again laughed and just said, man, I'll do that when I'm grown up. I'll do that when I get older. But now I'm going to enjoy my life. It kind of reminds me of when we'll go with Watsy to the Mexican restaurant. She likes to order chicken fingers. And I'll say, why don't you, you know, which is the best thing you can get. Her favorite restaurant's Old Mexico, but she gets chicken fingers, okay? I said, baby, why don't you try a taco today? You want to try a taco? She says, Daddy, when I'm grown, I'll try tacos. But today, I'm having chicken fingers, right? And so it's the same sort of situation, right, where these people are saying, I've got time to do this. Here's the reality. Here's where we are in life. That is an illusion. Time. That we have unlimited amounts of time is an illusion. These bridesmaids, and that's exactly what they are. Woody's not just editing that just because there are kids in the room, right? That's what this term means in this context, at least. These are maidens. These are women who are bridesmaids. I do want to commend Woody Turner on his on-the-fly editing skills. He doesn't have the children's church version of the Bible, the CCV. So he was on the fly editing that, and I really am impressed, honestly. And I thought about doing that myself, but I thought there's no telling what I'll wind up saying if I start trying to sub words in as we go along. There's no telling. Here's the reality, though. It's an illusion. Just as these bridesmaids learn the hard way in the parable at hand, it's an illusion that life lasts forever. It's an illusion that things will go on as they are today, now and forevermore. We must avoid, as Christians, and we must be adamantly opposed to the foolish thought that time is an unlimited resource. It's not. Life after death is unlimited. But by then, our decisions will have been made. This morning, I want to present to you, from this text, three essentials for wise living in the waning days of the world. From the moment Jesus Christ died and rose again till the moment He comes back, it's what the Bible would consider the last days, the last age of time. We don't know how long that age is going to last, and I'm not going to predict how long it's going to last. I think that's a fool's errand to try to do that, and I think it's opposed to what the Scripture explicitly teaches. But know that the Bible teaches that it could last as long as God wants it to last. So this age could last a million years. It could last 2,020 years. It could last as many years as God wants it to last. It's His choice. Three essentials then for wise living in the last days. Wise living in waning days. Three essential truths that will help you live wisely in the last days. It's not lost on me, as an aside, that we gather here weekly and discuss things like the end of the world. See, so often we act like those kinds of thoughts and those kinds of teachings are kind of reserved for cults and crazy people and those kind of things. You know, the world's ending. But the reality is that the world is ending. The reality is that Jesus Christ will come again. And so today, three essentials for wise living in the last days. Here's the first. Recognize the fleeting nature of time. Recognize the fleeting nature of time. Simply put, life doesn't last forever. James says that life is a vapor. The book of Ecclesiastes says shares a similar sentiment with us. Life is a vapor. If it's really cold outside, you can lean against the car door and you can put a breath on the glass, put vapor on the glass, and just try to finish writing your name before it disappears. See how well that goes. Life is a vapor. You see, these wise bridesmaids, the wise virgins, they handled their limited time well. It'd be like 10 virgins, verse 1, who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. They just took the lamp that was in the oil. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. They brought refills. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. You see, there's just a limited amount of time. They know at some point the bridegroom is coming. And in this case, he delayed long enough to where they needed to take a nap. Perhaps these unwise bridesmaids expected him to come sooner. Perhaps they expected him not to wait this long. And yet, here he was. The wise bridesmaids handled this time well. They brought these flasks of oil, knowing how long it could be and that they would not have time to buy more once the bridegroom showed up. The foolish ones were not wise with their time. They did not bring extra oil, and they did not prepare for losing time in sleep. Y'all ever done that before? I can remember different times in college and seminary. I overestimated how much time I could spend awake. You guys ever done this? Now listen, one of the worst mistakes I could ever make is to say, I'm going to get up early tomorrow and finish that assignment. Any of y'all ever done that before? Now some of y'all might do that on purpose. Some of y'all might go to bed at 9 and wake up at 4 and you're just busy little bee at 4 in the morning. And I'm not a big fan of your kind. Makes me sick. No, I'm the kind of guy, I've got to stay up late, and ordinarily, right? On most of the time, I'm pretty good. I can usually stay up pretty late, and in fact, I sometimes hit a second wind in the middle of the night and can really get some of my best work done late at night. But there have been moments where I've overestimated that's what that second wind was capable of. And there have been times when I've probably put a little too much trust in Nightmat. And I found myself in a jam. I think we've all been there. I think we've all been in those situations. And yet here these wise people prepared ahead of time. And yet the foolish ones were not wise with their time. They did not bring extra oil. They did not prepare for losing time in sleep. And so here the scripture, Jesus himself, is connecting the way we use time to wisdom. This isn't the only place the Bible does that. Jesus does this for us elsewhere as he inspires the scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul tells us, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, our time on earth is not bent toward neutrality. We don't just float along. If we are not regularly making the best use of the time, we're going to start careening toward evil. We're going to start moving towards sinfulness. That's what the scripture tells us. And so we ought to be wise and walk against that pattern. Psalm, the 90th Psalm, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom. That is, we must not get lulled into thinking that life is longer than it is. Now, some of y'all are down the road a little further than I am. And regularly you tell me. I can't remember the last time I talked to someone about life and what it's like raising children and all those kind of things. Can't remember the last time I brought that up to anyone who didn't look at me and say, it goes by faster than you think it does. You're going to blink. You're going to blink and your kids are going to be grown. You're going to blink. You're going to blink and you're going to be a grumpy old man, you know? You're going to blink. I'm just kidding. I'm a grumpy young man. You're going to blink and it'll be gone. We know it in our hearts, right? We know deep down inside that life doesn't last forever. And yet we tell ourselves that we've got all the time in the world. Is that not the very definition of foolishness? Is that not the very opposite of wisdom right there in how we behave? Knowing that life doesn't last forever. Brothers and sisters, how are you using your time? How are you redeeming the time around you? Are you living in wisdom or are you living in foolishness? Are you spending the time the best way that you know how? Are you spending it according to God's word? Or are you just simply floating along, drifting, believing that one day there will be time to get all this stuff done, when in the watch of the night you might find yourself dozing off, sleepy, too tired to embrace Christ. Brothers and sisters, use your time wisely. Second point is this: don't ignore your personal responsibility to God. Don't ignore your personal responsibility to God. Verse 5, the bridegroom was delayed, and they all became drowsy. They slept, but at midnight there was a cry. Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us, and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Your relationship with God is dependent on nobody else but you. Nobody will be there with you at the judgment seat of God. Nobody will be able to be called in. You won't be able to call in and say, well, you know what, Lord? My parents were just not the best parents. But my family just didn't love me like they should. You won't be able to bring in those people that mistreated you. Nobody will be there but you. You won't be able to bring in your friends and say, well, they encouraged me to live like this. My friends did. You won't be able to call in those people who didn't really share the Bible with you like they should. It is appointed to one man, each man wants to die, and then to face the judgment. And it will be just you and God there. The only hope we have between us and God is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is your responsibility to repent and believe the gospel. Nobody but you is responsible to God for you. I've encountered countless people who blame others for their relationship with Christ. Y'all know what the most popular, excuse is for people who have a quarrel with God. I always want to blame those hypocrites in the church. When people say that to me, I say, well, it's not that big of an issue to me because I'm a hypocrite in the church. In other words, if church is all about people getting together and acting good together, which y'all know that's what it's about, right? That's all we do around here. We just get together and do good deeds. Talk about how good we are. No, that's not what church is about. No, that's not what church is about. Church is about people who desperately need grace coming together and finding the help they need in the Scriptures and in community. We're just doing what God told us to do. Listen, I just want to put this to rest once and for all. First Baptist Church Gadsden does not exist. If you're curious about this, it does not exist for really good people to come around and get better. It exists for all of us who are bad folks to get better by being made alive through Christ. We are not, now listen, this might be a surprise to some folks. We are not the top members of society. God didn't skim the cream off the top and dump it into the church. No, brothers and sisters. We came here dead, and Jesus made us alive. It's appointed to each man once to die and then to face the judgment. Nobody else is going to be there. Mommy and daddy's not going to be there. Grandma and grandpa, the preacher's not going to be there. Friends aren't going to be there. Hypocrites are not going to be there. The government's not going to be there. Each person's conscience is responsible to God and God alone. That's why myself personally and Baptists in general are advocates of religious liberty for all people. Because the government, the state, will not be there. Will not be there on the judgment. President Obama or President Trump, neither of them are going to be there with you on the judgment day. They won't be there. Choose this day, then, whom you will serve. Don't make the same mistake that these bridesmaids made, thinking they could depend on others for their relationship with the bridegroom. No, brothers and sisters, it is between you and God. It is between you and God alone. Third of all, third point is this, third essential. Live life prepared for Christ's coming. Live life prepared for Christ's coming. Recognize the fleeting nature of time. Don't ignore your personal responsibility to God. And if you're a note taker, here's the third point. Live life prepared for Christ's coming. You can't believe how many people sometimes will, I just missed that third point. So today I'm going over it multiple times, okay? So that you've got the complete set for this sermon series. Live life prepared for Christ's coming. Well, things seem to be looking up for these bridesmaids. Somehow at midnight, they find the oil man. They get their lamps relit. They make it to the reception. According to Jewish wedding customs, it was probably a big feast being held at the groom's house, his parents' house. They make it there. Whew, that was a close one. Here we are. I'm sure there's still some dancing to be done. They knock on the door. Open to us. Lord, Lord, open to us. Verse 12. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Now the reality is that I think that this parable is something of a hyperbole. I think that there is some exaggeration in the details here that's used for effect. In other words, generally speaking, once you make it to the wedding reception, generally speaking, you would probably be let in. It doesn't seem like there are any historical facts that corroborate what's going on here, but Jesus is known to use this tactic in his storytelling hyperbole. Now, it's a story, right? So he's not lying. He's telling a story, and so it's okay to exaggerate in storytelling because sometimes you can use the story to great effect, and you can use the exaggeration to great effect. But Jesus is showing the way that at the end of the age, there will be people perhaps who want to be let in, but for whom it is too late. They make it to the feast, seeking entry, but the bridegroom tells them to depart. This, a little bit, reminds me of some of the stuff that was kind of popular when I was in the youth group growing up. There's a little bit of cheesiness involved from time to time. Does anybody remember the DC Talk song, I Wish We'd All Been Ready? You guys know that one? I thought so. And DC Talk had a song that was kind of meant to induce guilt in people, right? I think. That's not all bad. It's not totally a bad song. But anyway, it's I Wish We'd All Been Ready. And the whole thing is this song about people who are being left behind. And folks used to ask all the time, I can remember people saying in school all the time, is that what you want to be doing when Jesus comes back? Because the reality is what they're trying to do regularly was kind of induce fear in people. Is that really what you want to be doing when Jesus comes back? And so the return of Christ becomes something that's fearful. Even for believers, when you talk about it that way. I was so scared of the second coming of Christ when I was a kid. I was just worried about it all the time. In fact, there's a rescue squad next to my parents' house, and one afternoon a helicopter was landing over there, and I just knew it had to be the Antichrist armies, you know. Why else would a helicopter be in double bridges but unless it was the end of the world, right? And so I mean, I was just worried about it all the time. And a lot of that stuff was kind of manipulative and sort of shallow at times, but there's an element of truth to it all. Are we ready? Are we living as if Christ will return? Or are we living as if this is all that there is? Are we prepared for the return of Jesus Christ? Much teaching on the end times actually leads people to be unprepared. Folks become so obsessed with the minutiae and the minor details of end times prophecy that they miss the point of end times prophecy, which is be prepared. Jesus says, depart. Or the bridegroom says, depart. Truly, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Today I ask you something so simple. You may say you know Jesus, but does Jesus know you? And if you don't know Christ, and if He doesn't know you, today He stands with arms open wide to receive you. Second of all, if you're a believer and you've not been walking with the Lord as you should, I'd love to pray with you and be with you today. Man, we've got all kinds of altar space today if you want to come forward. Finally, you may be looking for a church home. I'd love to talk to you about what it means for you to be a member here at First Baptist Church. After this prayer, I want to invite you to come. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you for this opportunity we have to gather together among your people today. And Lord, we pray that you would guide us. Lord, if there's anyone who has business to do with you today, God, we pray that they would handle it today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.